And there is a sermon time activity for kids through around the age of 5. If you'd like to send them downstairs for that, you can. But if you'd like for them to stay with you in worship, they're always welcome to do that too. We have been going through 1 Corinthians, and we come this morning to the last paragraph of chapter 4. Paul spent the beginning of chapter 4 talking about the kind of humility that ought to come from knowing that we have been given God's grace, that everything that we have has been given to us. That faith, when it becomes mature, ought to make us not more opinionated and not to look down on others more, but ought to make us more humble and more empathetic. And he goes on from this to then urge the Christians in Corinth to remember him. To remember his teaching and his way when he was with them, and for them to imitate him, which is something that he says that always makes me uncomfortable. But we're gonna talk about that, and we're gonna deal with my discomfort this morning. All right. So we're gonna read 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 21. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love in a spirit of gentleness? Let's pray. Father in heaven, as Paul teaches us that growth in Christ means humility, we want to come to your word humbly this morning. Willing to hear, open to understand, willing to hear you speak, to believe, to trust you, and to follow you. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll be at work in all of us, to be receptive to your word, open to it, to want to know you and love you and follow you. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul says he hasn't written everything that came before in order to make them ashamed. He's not trying to shame them. He's not trying to put them down. He's not trying to get them to change the way that they speak or that they live out of guilt. He wants it to happen out of love for Jesus. He says, I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm not trying to shame you. But I am trying to show you something as your father in the faith. And he says, and as your father, I want you to be imitators of me, is what he says. And as I mentioned earlier, I always react really strongly against that. when he says, be imitators of me. It sounds arrogant. It sounds focused on Paul instead of focused on Jesus. And I'm always a little bit off put by the weight of it, that it might put onto me as a father of my own children. Because most of the time, about most things, I don't want to say to my kids, be like me. Because I wouldn't wish that on them. But imitation happens whether we like it or not. My wife reminded me of a story this week. Katie retold this story that I had forgotten, that our senior pastor told us, the senior pastor of our church when we lived in St. Louis. And so he was an older man at that point, and his children were grown, they were adults, and they were out of the house. But he told us a story about when he was younger. And when his kids were probably around the age that mine are now, maybe a little bit older. And so it was the middle of the day, one afternoon, and he got a very concerned phone call from the principal of their school. And so the principal was very concerned, very serious on the phone, and he said, We need you to come into the school this afternoon to discuss an incident with one of your sons. So he was obviously concerned about this. He said, of course, I'll be in. And so they went in and they sat down in the principal's office. The principal spoke very, very sort of solemnly and said, we need you to know that at lunch today, one of your sons was sitting near another boy who was eating a bowl of spaghetti for lunch, and he took his head and he pushed it down into the bowl of spaghetti. Principal was very serious, said, listen, we don't tolerate bullying at the school. This sort of thing can't be repeated. We consider this a serious matter that needs to be rectified. And our pastor started laughing, hysterically laughing, and said, I'm so sorry. I will speak to him about this. I did that to him and his brother at dinner last night. He said, they didn't think of it as bullying. They thought it was a funny joke. I'm so sorry. It's my fault. I'll speak to them. Whether we intend it or not, imitation happens. People who look up to you, people who know you and trust you, it's not just in church and it's not just in the family. In different aspects of our lives, okay, people who look up to you and trust you will end up absorbing things from you. Okay, will end up imitating you. And so it's not like Paul is saying something new here. He's simply acknowledging a reality. When there are people who are in positions of trust, there is going to be some imitation that happens. He's trying to draw their attention to that. Okay? And this isn't the only place where this shows up in Paul's letters. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, he writes to them to join in imitating him in the faith. In 2 Thessalonians 3, in verse 7, he writes to them that you know that you ought to imitate us. In 1 Timothy 4, he tells Timothy to set an example of godliness for the other believers. And in Titus 2, he writes to Titus to be a model of good works. This isn't something strange in Paul's letters. It's kind of all over the place. Okay? So imitation is scary, but it happens anyway. It happens naturally. And Paul says that imitation happens with our spiritual mothers and fathers. Paul says to them, he says, you have many guides in the faith, but you don't have many fathers. He tells them that they should imitate him because he is their father and that he became their father through the gospel. Okay? Probably he means that he started the church at Corinth, that he was instrumental in many of their conversions, and that he had played an important role in their discipleship in the faith. In other words, he's saying he plays a special role in their spiritual development, so he calls himself their spiritual father. And this language is used elsewhere in the New Testament as well. In 1 John chapter 2, John writes to those in his churches as fathers, as those who are a little bit older, and then to the young men. In Titus 2, Paul talks about older women being examples of godliness for younger women, okay? He talks about, in the faith, fathers and children and mothers and children. All of which ought to mean to us that we're not meant to live the life of faith alone, okay? Or at least not completely shut in to our own sort of generational group. Those further along in the faith, maybe who have been doing it longer, sometimes, though those who have sort of been where you have been, who have gone through the things that you are going through, who have learned a few things along the way, are meant to invest themselves in those who are coming along. Which is to say, we all need mothers and fathers in the faith. And I say that whether you're a man or a woman, you need men who are further along in the faith and women who are further along in the faith that you can go to, that you trust, that you want their advice, that you'll listen to them. People you know and trust and respect. And it's not just an age thing, okay? It's not like you hit 40 or 50 or 60 and all of a sudden you sort of hit the threshold where you stop listening to others and you start giving your own advice, right? We all need mothers and fathers in the faith. We all need wise and loving and gracious people we can go to and talk things through and get some advice so that we're not trying to reinvent the wheel every time something difficult comes along. Can I give you something to think about? In this community, in the church, sticking to our cliques and only interacting with our own age group, that's what's most comfortable, right? That's what's easiest, that's what comes the most naturally, but it actually works against us. Having a circle of friends and them being the only people that we listen to and talk to about stuff, okay? Having a circle of friends just like us and at the same stage of life can be super useful and good, right? You're going to relate to them really well. You likely have similar senses of humor, okay? All that good stuff. But it also deprives us of this kind of a relationship. So can I give you an idea? Maybe even consider it homework. If you're in your 20s or 30s, find someone or a couple at least 15 years older than you and ask them to come over for dinner or invite yourself to their place. If you're a little older than that, pick someone older and someone younger than you. We all have, it's not just an age thing. It's not just only that younger people do this and older people not so much. It comes naturally to us to be cliquish, okay? It's just human nature. It's not bad to have friends that you have a lot in common with. That's good. But also recognize that there is great spiritual value in knowing and trusting Christians who've been doing it longer than you. Who've walked in the spot that you're at right now, who've wrestled through some of the really hard questions, hard decisions that you're going through right now. Okay, chances are there are people, probably people in this room who have been where you are right now. And so try to diversify a little bit. Try to spark up some sort of a relationship with someone who's not exactly where you are. Imitation's scary, but it happens anyway. And Paul says imitation happens with our spiritual mothers and fathers. Okay, there needs to be a built-in trust, a built-in rapport, built-in respect. But the last thing he says is this, and this is what calms my heart whenever Paul talks about imitation, whenever he invites people to imitate him. It's that imitation's goal is Jesus. Paul says that it was for imitation's sake that he sent the Corinthians Timothy, okay, a younger partner of his in the gospel, someone who likely traveled with him on some of his missionary journeys and then ends up staying to pastor the church at Ephesus eventually. He says that he sends them Timothy so that he could remind them of Paul's ways in Christ. And he says it even more clearly in chapter 11, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. In 11:1, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." In other words, what he says is, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Because what has always scared me, what's always freaked me out a little bit about the idea of this idea of imitation that Paul gives is that I inevitably think about my own children when I think about something like this, okay? And I think about how the number of things about me that I hope that they become just like me is very small. And the number of things that I hope that they get better than me is huge. And so it seems to me far too limiting to them and not nearly focused enough on Jesus for me to tell them, just become like me. So in the end, what makes me okay with the idea of imitation is Paul says, you imitate me, but only as I imitate Christ. See, I know my own stupidity. I know my own sin. And there are a great number of things where I want you, I want my own kids to be so much better and smarter and wiser than me. As they go through life, I'd love them to miss out on some of the heartache I've gone through because of my own sin. And I want them to miss out on it, not because I hid them from the world or not because I sheltered them so much that they never had to deal with anything difficult, but because they learned from my sins. They picked up some good ideas from places where I went wrong, just as much as they learned from whatever wisdom I might have had to offer at some point along the way. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Which means that the goal, thank God, isn't for anyone to become like me. It's for everyone to become like Jesus. The Jesus who is full of grace and love and joy and patience and kindness and goodness. You see, by nature, we just do what people we respect do. Spaghetti teaches us that. But it takes some intentionality to say, here's Jesus. You know Jesus. You've learned about Jesus. You love Jesus. Where you see Jesus in me, even a little bit, follow that. But where you don't, leave it. Forget me. When you don't, please don't be like me. Which means for the sake of your faith and for the faith of your kids and the faith of your friends and others in the church, the very best thing you can do is learn and teach and follow Jesus. To know him yourself so that you are following him, you are imitating him. You have believed the gospel that he came and loved you and died for you and rose again to make you his own. He's showing you what true love really is, and to follow that. And for your kids and for others in the church to know Jesus, so that they can follow the instruction, imitate me as I imitate Christ, which means where I miss it, then don't follow me, follow Jesus. He loves you more than anyone else. He died to forgive you your sins and to make you his own. And we constantly let each other down, but he's the real deal. Tell your kids. Tell the people who look up to you that they should only listen to you and imitate you when you are faithfully following Jesus. And when you're not, learn from your sin. Learn from your example of asking for forgiveness and repenting. And I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again, parents. One of the greatest ways that you can instill this in your kids is by admitting that you're wrong to them when you are, is by asking them for forgiveness when you need to, is by showing them what repentance looks like. Because if you do that, then your kids will know instinctively that it's not just about you, but that it's about following Jesus, because even you do that. So what I want each of us to take away, where we are in positions where people are going to look up to us and maybe respect us, and as we go into the places where there are other people that we look up to and that we respect, that we want to learn from, take what shows you Jesus and leave what doesn't. Let's pray. Father in heaven, teach us about and remind us of and show us Jesus Christ. Thank you for the beautiful truth of the gospel, that he has become our Savior, our Redeemer, and that you have shown us your greatest love as our Heavenly Father through him. And let him become the focus and goal of our faith. Not simply to become like our fathers or mothers or mentors, but as fathers and mothers and mentors, to follow Jesus, to teach others to do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And stand and sing, let us love and sing and wonder.